Would you like to sit down? I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where we read, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I was really excited this morning when I heard that Sajit was coming along, because our pastor at Ed had asked me to preach this evening, and I was completely stuck. Because I prayed about it and I felt the Lord gave me one word, but Baptist ministers are not known for having a sermon that is one word long. So I thought, well, I can't just stand up and say that. It'd be ridiculous, really. And so I did what most people do. I sort of looked at three or four sermons and thought, well, they would do. And I came with something up my sleeve and all the things you do if you feel you could be in a hole rather than just relying on God, which is nearly always the easiest thing to do, but it's not what we actually do a lot of the time. In fact, I've realized that sometimes, to all intents and purposes, I live my life more or less as a practical atheist, a sort of God-fearing one, but not always prepared to do those little things that God asks me to do. And then I was very taken with what we heard this morning, and we suggested that our brother shared again tonight. And I think he was a bit worried because he said, "Aren't I using up your time?" And I thought, no, not really. I'm quite pleased for once. But he talked about, I've noted down some words. He talked about reconciliation, he talked about confession, and he talked about forgiveness and the important part those things are playing in the ministry to which God has called him. As a religious travel agent, you know, because I said to him, how on earth are you in Turkey? You can't be there on a missionary visa. You must be there under some disguise doing something else. And that's where the travel agency business comes into it. And as he was speaking to us this evening, I'm saying to the Lord, well, God, you know, I know the word you want me to give, so I'll just look in the back of my Bible. If that word is mentioned in the not very good, lectionary thing at the back, I'll go with it. So I found the word, and it's in that 1 Peter chapter 3. And the other thing that struck me about when you were speaking, I was so pleased that you said something about dreams, because everybody here knows that that's how I was converted. Through a dream, and I thought how very interesting it was that God obviously knows all about culture, because Jesus is appearing dressed in white to these Muslim people. And I remember years ago when I started, funny enough, but perhaps you could take me on in my old age, because I did this course in Israel all about leading tours, you see. And this guy who was training us was a chap in the Church of England. And he said, whatever you do in Israel, if you're taking people around the religious sites, get yourself a robe. I always remembered that. So I thought, well, I haven't got one. So I said to him, what do you think I should get? He said, get yourself a robe and make sure it's white. I said, why white? He said, well, he said, it's the Muslim holy color. He said, if you wear a white robe, you'll never get attacked by Muslims because they'll think you're probably one of them. He said, and the Christians will think you're so important because you're dressed in white, they'll immediately give way to your parties at any site you go to. And I found that's really a good tip. Anybody here? You, Mark, get yourself a white robe for when you go to Israel. It's a marvelous thing. It never fails. You can take communion, celebrate in a Catholic church, as long as you go along dressed. Tell them you're a Protestant minister. Can you use their facilities? They'll let you, as long as you're dressed in a robe. Doesn't matter what you believe, but as long as you're dressed in a robe, you'll be fine. You can get in there. So I got a great deal out of what you were saying this evening. And the word I feel that the Lord wants to just you to have this evening is in verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. As I just prayed about this service, it was the word compassion that I felt the Lord just laying on me. And I could have tarted it up with a full-length sermon, which I'm not no intention of preaching. But it's just that word compassion. We need to be compassionate people, because I think in the world in which we find ourselves, it's very easy not to be compassionate. You know, in our own society, as you mentioned the Brexit thing, I will mention the B word here. This has been quite a divisive issue. And we look at the political scene in the United States, and the election there seemed to be quite divisive in the outcome and all the rest of it. And I think God is wanting to just remind us as his people that wherever we stand on these big questions, that's actually secondary to where we stand in Christ. Because Jesus wants us to be compassionate people. And that's what we've not got to lose sight of in this day and age. Because it's very easy for us to be polarized and to take quite hard positions on things. And I think the church is probably one of the few places where we can hopefully get on well with each other, jog along together, whilst having quite a lot of different opinions about some of the things that are going on in the world. But we have to find that heart of compassion, don't we? That's the important thing. You know, and I think for all of us, we have to look for opportunities for God to use us where we are. Years ago when I came here, it was the height of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And I remember thinking, I didn't want the community in battle to be like so many of the communities in Northern Ireland, divided on religious grounds. And I went and knocked on the priest's door next door. And we just sort of got to know each other a bit faultingly and hesitatingly, and I know lots of you have got lots of reservations about Roman Catholics, because you tell me most weeks, some of different people in this church will tell me on a weekly basis what reservations they've got and all the rest of it. If you follow me on Facebook, look at what I put on a couple of days ago about a worship thing that happened in a Catholic wedding. It was absolutely fantastic. A flash mob invaded this Catholic wedding to sing "How Great Thou Art." Really worshipful, and the priest was joining in. Now, I don't know what they believe about a lot of other things, but they were worshipping Jesus. And that's the important thing. And we've not got to see people who are other and who are different always as the enemy and different from us. And I think God brings people across our path. You know, I'm absolutely thrilled that we are bringing, that the Lord has brought across our path in the person of Munir and Sharon Kakish from the West Bank, brought them across our path in the last year or two. You know, I'm excited that Ed and Emma are going to have the opportunity to go out and meet with them and have fellowship with them in a few weeks' time. And then Mark's going to be leading a party from the church out to go out there in the summer and help them. And I just think that's going to widen our understanding about what it is like. What's it like to live under occupation? I don't know. You don't know. We haven't had to face it. What's it like to go through petty humiliations day after day just to go about your ordinary life? Does that colour how you feel about things? I suspect it does. But these people are people whom Jesus loves, whom Jesus died for. My own personal challenge that I'd really value prayer for, I have an objective, a target, one of my targets that I sort of set myself for this year, and I don't know whether I'm going to achieve it or not, but bearing in mind what happened when I knocked on the priest's door, I've set myself a target to pray to get the washing facilities in Eastbourne District General Hospital changed so they're more acceptable to the Muslims over there. I can just imagine what this will look like on the front page of the Daily Mail. You know, but, you know, we have, these people are working in the hospital. And I'm thinking, how, and I see these people every day. Their prayer room is next to my office. And I think, how am I going to reach these people for Christ? Because I don't think Jesus has sent me over there just to get me out of Ed and Mark's hair over here. You know, there has to be a spiritual reason in all of that as well. So I'd value prayer for that, so to make meaningful contacts. That your neighbour, Brian, I've now met your neighbour. I haven't told him that I know you yet, but he's a Muslim doctor who works in the thing, but I think you are on the case, so I'm praying as well. So, do you know what I mean? God wants us to have compassion for people because he loves them. And let's not think that God is limited to us talking to people about Jesus. So often, we talk about evangelism as if it all hinges on us, as if it's our idea, as if somehow, if we see 10 people come to Alpha, we're going to get brownie points and, you know, stars on a card. And it's not like that at all. God loves these people. Christ died for them. God loves people much more than you and I will ever love them. We will love them as God gives us a heart of compassion. And so that's really what I feel God wants me just to pass on to you this evening, that we all just need to look to be perhaps a little more compassionate about Mark, you've got, you know what I want you to do this week? I want you to read that script I've given you, because I've outlined a lot of things in it. And I said to Mark, I can't do anything with this until he approves of it, because I've mentioned him so much in it. But that's because, you know, we all have issues going on in our life. And I've been writing about 3 or 4 of the things that have been going on in mine over the last few months. And I think that it's all actually, the bottom line is to do with compassion. That God wants us to have compassion about different things that are going on in the world, and not necessarily hide behind walls and all the rest of it. So that's just what I wanted to share. Brian, you look as if you've got something now. Oh, this is going to be one of those nights, isn't it? Great when we get off the order, isn't it?
I just want to encourage you, Dennis. This morning I was doing some preparation for ministry on Tuesday night at Ashburnham, when they have a filling station gathering there. And I was looking up in my Strong's Concordance the word compassion. And God was taking me through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, where the word compassion appears again and again and again. And so it's a now word. It's a now word. And compassion, it's from the passage in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion because they were like
sheep without a shepherd.
And that when it says he was moved with compassion, it means his whole being was moved outwards. And compassion really means it's the very character of God. God's full of mercy, and he's moved with compassion towards those who are like sheep without a shepherd. And again through Scripture, this word compassion comes out to reflect the character of God towards those who are marginalized and who we wouldn't look twice at normally. But God moves towards them in love. And his love is unlimited. He loves the unlovely. And the very way in which love gets expressed is not just because somebody, you like somebody. You can actually love somebody who you wouldn't naturally be drawn to. And I think that was what Saji was reflecting on tonight, what all that he's been doing out in Turkey. He's moving in compassion towards those that are really marginalized, who are really hurting, who've come out of the refugee camps of Syria and Iraq and in Turkey as well. And God's heart is towards those who are the marginalized of society. I just want to underline that. It was the now word from God. Compassion is God's heart.
Thank you, Brian. We're going to we're going to get put compassion into action really now. And I'm not saying that we're all suddenly going to buy tickets and head out at this moment. That might be what God is asking of us in the future, but we're going to do it through the power of prayer. As I said earlier, we've heard from Ed about how prayer is so powerful, us communicating with God. So let's we're going to focus on that now in terms of our kind of response, if you like, and pray for a couple of things. I put a little slide up there, which is kind of pointers for the different aspects of the situation. I say the situation. Different things that we can be praying for. Conflict resolution and peace. Now, I actually wrote this before Sajid shared. So when I heard saw the word or the phrase conflict resolution, that I think was a girl put up in the video. Conflict resolution and peace. Wise decisions from world leaders. Miracles in amongst the rubble. And that's not just rubble of homes, but it's rubble of lives. Miracles in amongst the rubble, whether that's healing, whether that's that bombs don't go off. They misfire. You know, just we think big. Our God is big. He is a big God. Those displaced from homes and families. Safety for Christians, because you know what God is going to use and is using those who are standing up for him to share compassion with those that they see around them. So let's pray that God would use and keep the believers that are out in all of these places all over the world safe, so that they can be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around them.